You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Paddy Aspel here with you to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. We're going to look at contests at Chelmsford and Windsor in just a few moments. There's also racing at Ayr, Wolverhampton and Killarney on Monday. But as I said, we're going to focus on contests at Chelmsford and Windsor. We'll get to that shortly. First things first, good afternoon, Paddy. How are you?
I'm good form. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good indeed. Only one place to start if we're looking back at the racing of the past few days, and that is the July Cup. It went the way of Limato under Harry Bentley. And on paper, it looked a very, very good renewal of the race. I think it was a very good renewal of the race, even in the way that it was run. Limato was just far too good, wasn't he?
Yeah, very, very impressive performance. I mean, look, he was always capable of a performance like that, but it was certainly a real, real spring back to form. And I mean, actually ran him around a bit in the closing stages, didn't he? So I think there was petrol left in the tank, and certainly back to 6 furlongs. I think Henry Candy has done such a wonderful job of training the horse. I mean, to think Henry Candy, he's only had 3 winners since, I don't know, since April or something. 2 of them have been Group 1s. So you'd be happy enough, but, you know, just the campaign he's plotted with this horse, and I think they're talking about Sussex Stakes now, aren't they? And it was good to see him back, and but I just thought it was a very, very commanding performance. You know, 2 lengths with a bit in hand in a July Cup takes a fair bit of doing.
It does.
You know, and I think Carbrook's filly has run a race and battled hard, but just wasn't up to the task on the day. Which just enhances Limato's performance even further, I think.
Where next, then?
I think they're talking about Sussex Stakes next. But, you know, it just on that performance yesterday, you know, a stiff 6. And that it actually rolled about a bit late on. Like, you know, to say that there was still more left.
Pretty versatile, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, this chap could go a mile. Could go a mile looking at that. That's
plenty more to come, because often you do see with smart 2-year-olds, that's all they are, isn't it? That they sort of, that's it.
Yeah,
it's good to see that Limato, he's not been at his best in the last few runs, but when he's needed to get it right, he has done, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes next.
It just widens the window for him, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, which is good.
We also saw at York Educate win the John Smith's Cup from Elworth, Earth Drummer, and Gold Trail. It looked a fiercely competitive renewal of the race. Maybe not the strongest one that we've seen in recent years, but on paper it was almost impossible to call. But Educate's one of those horses who just keeps popping up every now and again, doesn't he? He's very consistent. You know what you're going to get with him. And went off, in hindsight, a massive 18-1, didn't he?
He did. But that said, it had been a long time between drinks for him, hadn't it? This chap, I don't think he'd won since the 2013 Cambridgeshire, you know, when Johnny Murta won on him. But ridiculous, really, to think that he'd ran well on his comeback run, and that, you know, he's 8-year-old or 7-year-old, and the handicapper put him up £12. You know what I mean? So where's he meant to go? It's not like he's a vastly improving 7-year-old, because that just doesn't happen. I mean, you might see it over the jumps, but on the flat at this level, no. You know, Mike Marshall, you know, made that point. I mean, they've had to work so hard with the horse to try and relax him and sweeten him up and settle him down, do all sorts with him in order to try and overcome that handicap mark. Because, you know, he's always been a good horse, and he's always ran well at Royal Ascot, and he's got stacks of form in the book. But, you know, I mean, off 108. It was a hell of a performance, really.
And his consistency is almost his downfall.
And so that's why he's really had his day in the sun. He's always sort of been the bridesmaid and or has ran well without winning. You see it so often. But no, yesterday he had his day in the sun. And he got a good pot, $125,000 to the winner, and it was a great performance and a good feather in the cap for Ishmael Mohammed, who you know we don't see on the big Saturday stage too often. But, you know, it showed that on the day when they've got the ammunition, the job can get done.
We also saw, going back to Newmarket now, the Superlative Stakes, the Group 2 contest, for the two-year-olds, War Decree was basically backed as if defeat was out of the question. Somewhere around 3-1, I think, in the morning. Went off even money. I know we lost South Seas, the Balding Horse was a non-runner, but War Decree looked like another off the Ed O'Brien conveyor belt of two-year-old winners, didn't it?
But, yeah.
And to be fair to him, he's run an absolute blinder. But beaten by Boynton for Charlie Appleby and Adam Kirby, the front two pulled five lengths clear of the rest. Definitely the two best horses in the race, but Boynton could be one heck of a tool, couldn't he?
Yeah, because, I mean, first things first, it's one thing I always look for. If you've got a tight finish, I always look for the distance back to the third. As a way of assessing the performance, there was five lengths back, you know, in a 7 furlong Group Two. That's a heck of a distance, and you know you've got Kunko was in fourth. It was a proper ding dong between the first two. Very very tough performance by the Godolphin horse, but you know War Decree, if you just stop the race a furlong out, I'd have said he is your winner, but. Boynton, like I say, was very, very tough, and I'm sure the O'Brien camp were disappointed to get beat, but Aidan O'Brien was fairly philosophical afterwards, and I just thought we seen, although second, War Degree, fabulous, fabulous horse, but very, very excited by the winner also, Boynton. Very tough and really knuckled down to it, and just looked a proper bit of kit.
Had previously only won at Goodwood, but it's that kind of time of the year now, isn't it, when it is the horses that have been maybe sparingly used up to now and are still open to progression, whereas there are some who have already played the hand two or three times. You know that they're good, but maybe they're already plateauing, whereas this one in particular still very much on the upgrade. And as you said, you look back at say Kunko finishing fourth, Hyperfocus well beaten, but Bimba Tuta was well found in the market as well at 8-1. They're not bad horses that have been beaten, and obviously Kunko, all the rage after his debut win, wasn't he? The first son of Frankel to win. Hasn't run a bad race by any means, nor has Mr. Scaramanga, who's finished third, but it could just be that those front two are cut above.
And I mean, you know, Kunko was beaten 6.5 lengths, but after the fifth horse, you've got a proper gap back to the rest, you know, and the likes of Bimba Tuta, you know, in the end, you could literally say they were tailed off, you know, on flat terms. So it was a race that, you know, on lesser horses and maybe horses that we spoke about that weren't as fresh could leave a proper mark. These two at the front of the result probably mightn't do so as much, because as we say, they've just got less miles on the go this year, but it was a tough contest.
Nothing quite in the class of Newmarket running on Monday, I'm afraid, but we've got four fairly competitive races, actually, to preview. We're going to start at Chelmsford with the 3:45. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs, a Class 3 event. 11 of them down to go to post as we speak. Little Voice already confirmed as a non-runner. Plenty of these that have been around the block. They know exactly what they're doing, Paddy, but what's going to poke its head in front on this occasion?
I was actually going to plumb for Scott Dixon's horse, Crystallite. He's got loads of ability, this horse. I mean, look, he's a typical sprinter, and a lot of these actually in this contest are of a similar comment that they need things to go their way. That could be said a lot, but Crystallite, who ran well on Champions Day down at our finals day at Lingfield, he'll be better for the reappearance during the week. I know they're going back at him quick, but he's that type of horse, you can do that, but he's not badly berted in five. And I just thought, having appreciated the, or having benefited from his return during the week, I'd give him a real good show here, taking on his elders.
And, I mean, with a horse like this, often you look at Chelmsford and you go, does it suit all horses? Well, she's been here twice. She's placed twice. Granted, yeah, there's not the win there, but you know that she's got the ability to run well here. And also as a three-year-old, that there could still be that little bit of improvement yet to come. As you said, well beaten at York, but you can almost discount that as a kind of, right, we've beaten the turf, hasn't quite worked.
Yeah.
We'll go back to what we know, and she could fare better for it.
Yeah, just a nice prep, really. And like I said, I know they're going back at them quick, but, you know, I've got plenty of horses here that need looking running and aren't serious win candidates. Consistent, all being they're not serious win candidates and only win in their turn, and as I say, when things go right. So I'd take a little chance, and I'd stick with the Scott Dixon horse, Crystalite.
Okay, Crystalite, the selection in the 3:45. Next up is Chelmsford 4:15, a handicap over a mile. We've got 8 of them down to go to post as we speak. And what would seem the standout candidate here is War Glory for Richard Hannon and Tom Marquand, the most unexposed horse in the field. Finished second on debut at Wolverhampton before winning over the same course and distance. That was over 7 furlongs. Steps up to a mile here. Has had 182 days off, but you'd imagine the Hannons would be thinking that this is a decent opportunity for War Glory.
Without a doubt, and it'll be interesting to see how this chap is priced up, because I think he's going to go off pretty short, because really, I mean, Weatherfront was well beat the last day at Chepstow, after looking quite impressive, but after meeting an awful lot of trouble in running at Redcar to lose his maiden tag. But the ground did ease up at Chepstow that day. Now, he was well beaten. He didn't look comfortable on it. I was in the studio and I did tip him up and just thought he was a horse really going forward. So I would forgive him that one. And I think he could bounce back here. But I do think War Glory lost his maiden tag at Wolverhampton. We've only seen him twice, but he's been second and first. As you say, he's back here off a 182-day break. So he's been given the winter and some to strengthen up. And I think this three-year-old from Richard Hannon yard, for me, he's landed on a race where horses are, I won't say badly out of form, but certainly not going forward maybe as quick as what he is. And looks very, very winnable for me.
Okay, War Glory, the selection in Chelmsford 4:15. We'll move to Windsor now for the 8:30. A handicap over almost a mile and a half. 6 of them going to post here. Not the easiest race to call this, despite the fact that there's not that many runners, Paddy, because you could really give a chance to any of them.
You could, and there was probably one or two notebook horses here. I do think Kesselring is going to continue to pay his way. Doesn't do anything very quick. I've watched this horse a few times, and to be fair, he's been quite busy for the Hannon yard, you know, for a three-year-old, that they've kept him real busy. And I think he will continue to pay his way, but probably is one of the yard's lesser lights. But the one I was going to go with, although well beat probably in hindsight the last day, My Time Has Come. First run the handicap gets, but it's also first time hood for the Roger Varian team, and it's a bit of kit I'm very, very fond of. I think it's got has a great effect, especially on the fillies. Has to carry 9-1 here after the handicapper allotted at a rate of 78. Goes up in trip. The Varian team are a very good order. And without, same comment applies, without being one of the stable's better ones, I think we'll pay its way. And just up against some other rivals who, maybe for now, handicapper has probably had his say with the majority of them. Although we've only got 6 of them, the handicapper probably has most of them, from what I can see, where he wants them. But my Time Has Come has probably just got that slight less mileage and could improve for on a handicap debut there tomorrow.
Okay, My Time Has Come, the selection in the 8:30. The final race we're going to look at is Windsor's 9 o'clock. Handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. 10 of them are going to post for this. Actually, some informed types arriving here. Ice Buster, one of them. Rotherwick's been in good form. Taper Tantrum's been in and out, but running pretty solidly. Not a bad little race, this, is it?
No, it's not. We've also got John Joe's horse at the top. One last time we seen him on the flap, but that was getting over nearly 2 years ago, but did run over jumps 83 days ago. Ice Buster for the Rob Millman yard, who have been having a pretty good time of it recently. Freddie Tillicky rides that, who seems to ride the bulk and has had struck up a fair relationship with Rod Millman team this year. But I was actually going to go for the one you mentioned, Taper Tantrum. I know can hit the crossbar maybe a little bit more than what you'd like, but generally gives the running, the course winner. He's got the usual visor back on tomorrow. Now look, although he's out in stall 8 of 10, which isn't ideal, I mean, it's a mile and two, so we've got a bit of time to get a position and hopefully not cover too much ground. But it was a tricky race, this, and I gave a chance to a few. I thought Roderick was certainly an each-way selection for the Paul Cole team, who are in good order with Tom Markhand on board. But just after, you know, like I say, given chances to two or three, I thought maybe Taper Tantrum, with a little bit of luck on his side, dependent, was the one for me here.
Okay, Taper Tantrum gets the vote in the 9 o'clock. Great stuff, Paddy. Great talking to you once again. Enjoy all the racing on Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.